Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. More pre-G bonus words added to the dictionary in 2025. This is the June section, the words that were added to the Oxford Dictionary in June of 2025. So let's talk about 20 of them. The first word is bag, B-A-G-H. It's a noun. It is in Persia and India, and it is specifically calling out that Persia is now Iran. So Persia is the old name. Back when there was a prince of Persia, running and jumping over holes and swinging on things, maybe. Okay, so this is a garden, especially a public one. Also, an orchard. It's a bag, and I don't know if they pronounce it differently than just bag, but to me it's a bag. Maybe relatedly, possibly, is Baghdad, with a capital B, B-A-G-H-D-A-D. But, so, let's see, hold on a second. Well, we'll get there. Okay, we'll get there. So this one is a noun. It's in medicine, I guess? It says, as a modifier, especially in Baghdad boil. So it's modifying the word boil to be a Baghdad boil. And it says, forming names for the ulcerated nodular sore characteristic of the protozoal disease cutaneous dot dot dot. Okay. So, it seems like it's a very specific thing in the medicine world. I guess I'll just look up, what is Baghdad in medicine? So it's describing a thing on your body that's being called Baghdad. It's a not recognized term. Interesting. However, it is a fictional reference. What? It is a fictional reference used in the NBC medical drama series Chicago Med. In the show, the Baghdad trauma room is a high volume, high acuity area where the most critically ill patients are treated. The name is a nod to the historical city of Baghdad, which was a major center of medical knowledge and the trade in the Middle Ages. It's important to note that Baghdad is not a medical term in the real world. It's only used in the context of this fictional medical drama. Well, that definition did not at all seem like that's the case. The definition from Oxford. Baghdad boil. Yeah, it's a specific kind of... All right. Well, you know, if you're in the medicine world and you have some thoughts and feelings and emotions about this, feel free to call in and let me know. Because I'm confused. I'm very confused. All right, next, we have the word Oh, this one's different. It's Baghdadi. Baghdadi. B-A-G-H-D-A-D-I. It is a noun and an adjective, and it is an inhabitant of Baghdad, and also a person from Baghdad. And so let's look up Baghdad City, even though that's not what it's called. That's just what I'm calling it. Baghdad City. Okay, so it's in Iraq. That is not Iran or Iran, however you want to pronounce that. But it is close enough that it makes me think of that, makes me think that it's related to that word Baghdad that we had from Persian times. So let's look up etymology of Baghdad because we might get some interesting information here. The most accepted etymology for Baghdad is that it comes from Middle Persian, meaning gift of God. From the words bag, which means God, and dad, which means given. So if we go back to the word bag, it's a garden, an orchard. It's not the word God, but maybe there's a connection between God and the Garden of Eden and this garden, and maybe the Garden of Eden used to be in Baghdad or something, but you know, God is like providing growth and sustenance and orchards, things growing from trees and stuff, and so, you know, God is in nature. That's maybe what it's saying. Is that enough information? Let's see. This Persian name, Baghdata, is pre-Islamic and related to similar names in other languages, such as the Slavic Bogdan and the Greek Theodore. While this is the most popular theory, some scholars have suggested other older origins. All right, so the city of Baghdad was given by God. Next, we have bag holder. I'm just the one who's holding the bag when I am shopping with my wife. I am holding the bags and waiting, and so I am the bag holder. So this is a noun. This is in business and finance. It is an investor who is left holding stock that has dropped sharply in value or become worthless. Oh, you're just stuck there holding the bag of worthless stock. That's not what you want to be. When you're in the finance world, you don't want to be that guy holding the crappy stock. You want to hold the good stock in your bags. Next is bag house. Noun. A building or other enclosure that houses bag filters for the collection or removal of suspended particles from smoke or other gaseous emissions. I got your gaseous emissions right here. A building or other enclosure that houses bag filters for the collection or removal of suspended particles from smoke or other gaseous emissions. So what do they... They put the smoke or the gas into this building, and then there's a filter, and it holds the particles in there? Do we just need to look up what is a bag house? I feel like I need more context. Large-scale industrial air pollution control device that uses fabric filters to capture airborne dust and other particulates from a gas stream. So this is the house in the industrial building, the factory maybe, that you're like, we got all these particles and particulates, we got to catch them. I know, let's build a house for them. They can have a family in the house, and they can have friends over, all of those particles. All right, it's a bag house. Next, we have baglama. B-A-G-L-A-M-A. Almost looks like a bag llama, like the llama, the mammal with the cool face and the neck and stuff. Anyway, this is a Turkish long-necked lute with a pear-shaped body, typically having seven strings arranged in three courses and movable frets. There was something else. We had some sort of guitar that had multiple courses. Okay, well, let's look up a picture of a bag llama. Bag llama? Bag llama. Don't know how to say it. So, yeah, the body of it, you know, it looks very similar to a pear with a whole side cut off. In fact, I think they should make one that looks just like a pear. Paint it green with some little speckles or something. That would be kind of cool. Maybe on the side, what's been cut off, you could paint in little seeds. Look like there's seeds in there. It's got a neck, and it's got the strings and the frets and the things, and you can move the frets. Oh, huh? What? You can move the frets? That's kind of amazing for a stringed instrument. Bag llama. Okay, next we have bagless. Adjective. Not having, carrying, or making use of a bag. Also, designating something that is not sold with or in a bag. So, if you are walking down the street and you got no bag, you are bagless. I got no bags. Give me some bags. I need to be a bag person. Or also just something that doesn't need a bag. Oh, maybe like a bagless vacuum. That's a thing. You don't need no bag. I don't know how they work. All my vacuums, they've all had bags. I need bags so I can empty the bag, kind of. I guess the vacuum we have now doesn't have a bag. That's true. It just has a container. There's a difference between a container and a bag, right? Yes, I know. Okay, next we have bag load. Noun, figurative. It is a large amount or a great deal. There's a phrase, by the bag load, which means in abundance, in large quantities. We got so much stuff, we could put it all in like 10 bags, and then we got a bag load of carrots. So many carrots, a great deal of carrots. Bugs Bunny would be so proud. He would go, what's up, Doc? Give me your carrots. That was not Bugs at all. Okay, next, we have bagna cauda. Again, of course, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but we'll say yes. Bagna, B-A-G-N-A, second word, cauda, C-A-U-D-A. This is a noun, and this is a savory dish traditionally made in Piedmont in northwest Italy, consisting of an anchovy, garlic, and white truffle sauce, kept hot, dot, 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 kept hot, dot, 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 Kept hot what? In a pot? You keep it hot in a pot? I don't love the idea of an anchovy sauce, but the garlic and the white truffle sounds pretty tasty in this bagna cauda. And should we look up a picture? Can I describe this bagna cauda dish to you? It looks like a stew. This one looks white, which seems accurate, but this one is brown. That seems less. Warm savory dip or sauce. Primarily made with garlic, anchovies, and olive oil. Ah, it is pronounced bagna cauda, which means hot sauce. Hot sauce coming through. So yes, bagna cauda. That's how you officially pronounce it. Thank you very much for that information. And it's a sauce or a dip. You could maybe dip some stuff in there. All right. Next we have, would you bag it? Bago. Bagot, capital B-A-G-O-T, noun. It is a goat of a rare old British horned breed with a shaggy coat that is black on the head and forequarters and white on most of the trunk and hindquarters. Oh, so it's like black in the front and white in the back? Okay, let's look up a picture of this goat. Bagot? Oh, yes, it's very shaggy. The hair is very long. It's got some big old horns. And yeah, it's literally just black and like the neck and the head and maybe the front legs. And then the rest of it's white. It's rare. It's a rare one. It can be a surname with Norman and German origins. But I don't know how to pronounce it. Yes, there's a lot of information here about it. First documented in 1389 at Blithfield Hall in Staffordshire, England. Go look up a picture of a bagot goat, and you will say, that's a goat. Next we have bagpiping. I have to remember which one am I ending on. There we go, it's that one, I think. Bagpiping is an adjective that plays the bagpipes. That thing, he's a bagpiping fool. That fool playing the bagpipes, he loves playing the pipes with the bag. That's what it is. It's a bag and pipes. It's a bagpipe. Clever name. I would love to play the bagpipes. I just want to try it once. That's all I need. If I like it, maybe I'll try it a second time. We'll see how I feel in the moment. But I would love to try a bagpipe. I know people hate the sound. I don't mind it. It's not the thing that I want to hear all the time. But I just think it's a fascinating, unique, weird, irritating instrument, so I want to play it. Next we have bagra. That's not probably how you say it. The problem with this thing that I'm doing right now, with all of these new words, is that it has no pronunciation. I wonder if I go to this page, will it actually show me the pronunciation? Yes, it does. Okay, U.S. English, because of course I'm a U.S. person. Not that I am very proud of that particularly, except yesterday we did the No Kings protest, and I was pretty proud to be an American because millions were protesting. So this is pronounced bagre or bagre, and the British actually looks the same. Bagre, bagre. So this is a noun. It is any of various marine or freshwater catfishes, especially Metasirus ungulatus from the family Cyanidae. No, Cyanidae. It is a large marine catfish native to the Pacific. The Pacific Ocean, the Pacific Rim, the Pacific something. Oh, yep. It's got some pink. It's got those things coming off of its mouth, so it looks like a catfish, and that's what it is. Bagre. Okay, next, we have bagshot. It has a capital B. I feel like that's important. It is a noun. It's as a modifier. It is designating a series of beds of sand and light clay, which were deposited in low-lying areas of southern England, especially around London, .. Beds of sand and light clay. So this is like in the land. If you go digging, maybe you'll find some bagshot land. Or is it bagshot Park. Well, there's a Bagshot Village in England, and there's Bagshot Park, which I assume, yes, it's a historical landmark in Bagshot, England. Now, do you pronounce it Bagshot? Or do you pronounce it Bagshot? Bagshot. Interesting. Yes, I don't know anything about this. So Bagshot Park is a royal residence. It's a royal residence located near Bagshot, a village 11 miles south of Windsor. It is on Bagshot Heath, a 50-square-mile tract of formerly open land in Surrey and Berkshire. Bagshot Park occupies 51 acres with the designated area of Windsor, within the designated area of Windsor Great Park. Do these royal people need so much land? The UK already doesn't have a lot of land, and they're just taking up a bunch of it. All right, that's that one. It's a beds of sand and light clay. Next, we have, do you pronounce it Baguazhan? Baguazhan. Baguazhang. I believe that will be Baguazhan. Let's look at this. Baguazhan. Yes, that is pretty, really awesome. So this is it's a noun. It's a traditional Chinese martial art characterized by footwork that describes a circle and by strikes within and by strikes with the palm of the hand with an emphasis on dot, dot, dot. Emphasis on what? I gotta know what there's an emphasis on. Baguazhan. Let's look this up so we can find a little bit more information for you. It means eight trigram palm. It's an internal Chinese martial art characterized by distinctive circular footwork known as circle walking or turning the circle. Combined with flowing palm techniques based on Taoist philosophy, its movements are designed to allow practitioners to evade an opponent by moving behind them, using sophisticated body mechanics for effective strikes, joint locks, and throws. And I assume that there's a lot of this sort of palm work. I did Tai Chi over 20 years ago, and this is not at all accurate. But the circle footwork seems pretty important. All right, I should do something like that, some sort of martial arts, something to get my body going and strong and stretchy and not weak. Okay, next we have Bagus, B-A-G-U-S, adjective of high quality. Excellent. Splendid. Also, and I guess this is an interjection. Also, an interjection expressing approval or assent. Bagus. How do you use this word? How use bagus? Reminds me of, what is it, in Monty Python, Life of Brian. There's that one character who can't, he has a little bit of a speech impediment. Do you find it visible when I say the name Bagus? Digus? Bagus is an Indonesian word that means good and is used to describe the quality of inanimate objects, intangible things, or a situation. Use bagus to describe things like a good phone, a good plan, or a good performance. And use bike, B-A-I-K, for describing a person's character or to respond with, I'm fine. For example, you would say, this book is good. And then in, I guess, Indonesian, buku ini bagus, but he is a kind person. And the translation would be dia orang baik. You can watch this video to learn the difference between baik and bagus, but I don't know how to pronounce it. Let's look up how to pronounce this word, because I would like to say it accurately. This probably should be one of the first things I look at. Nope, can't even look at that. Nope, the Oxford Dictionary website will not let me do it. Bagus pronunciation. We're just going to do a real quick look so you can try to use this if you like. I just want to see. Oh, bagus. Is that correct? Bagus. That's a fun way to say it. I guess you could also say bagus. All right. Next we have baila. B-A-I-L-A. Noun. An up-tempo style of popular music originating in Sri Lanka and combining influences from both Africa and Europe, typically played in 6-8 time, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, with a dot, dot, dot. Baila. I mean, I have mentioned this before, probably. I'm, you know, humble brag, no problem, but I happen to know that the Spanish word for to dance is bailar. So this is probably connected to that somehow. Up-tempo 6-8 music in Sri Lanka with influences from Africa and Europe. Next, we have Balanda. Capital B-A-L-A-N-D-A. Noun and adjective. This is chiefly Australian Aboriginal English. Interesting, Aboriginal English. So the English people, this people who spoke English were around for a while, that the Aboriginal people took on that, a lot of those words probably, and sort of combined it with their own language and made some new words. So it's in the Northern Territory, I assume, of Australia, and it is a white person. Also, with plural agreement, white people collectively. All of the white people are Balanda. If I'm pronouncing that correctly, I'm not sure. Let's look up Balanda. It seems like that's about how you would say it. Balanda. Yep, I think that's it. Okay, all the white people, we're the Balanda. Next is bandwagon. Verb, intransitive verb. It is to join others in supporting a movement or cause that seems promising, fashionable, or popular. I guess I'll also throw in trendy. Also, specifically of a nation or state, to dot dot dot. The nation or the state is bandwagoning. They're hopping on that bandwagon for those popular things. What's a popular thing? Oh, I don't know. Human rights! All of the humans. So yeah, but the idea is like, oh, you're just hopping on the bandwagon. You're a fair weather fan. This seems promising, fashionable, popular. So you want to be a part of the thing that you think is really going to keep it going, get going, that is going to be popular amongst all the people, whether maybe you believe it or not. You're just bandwagoning. Yep. Next is batteried. Batteried, IED at the end. Adjective. Having or provided with a battery or batteries in various senses of the word battery. Often with preceding modifying adverb. So this thing is batteried. Toy, that robot toy for your child or for an adult is batteried because it requires batteries and hopefully it came with batteries when you bought it. Next, I think this is our last word in this episode. It is batteryless. No batteries. You don't need no batteries. It's batteryless. This is an adjective. It is that does not have or require a battery, that operates without a battery or batteries. I'm batteryless. You don't need to put in batteries to make me run or go. Let's see, my audio recorder here, it does use batteries. It is a batteried recorder, but right now it is plugged into power, so it doesn't need batteries. It's, and maybe there's even no batteries in it, so it might be batteryless right now. Okay, well, that was it. Those were all the words. Which ones did we like? What was your favorite? I'm scrolling through. I'm trying to see what I like. I mean, I like the idea of an orchard and a garden, and also bagpiping. That's what I got for you today. Should I be telling you about movies? Should we keep up on this train that we started a while ago? I gotta bring up my list. I have watched quite a lot of movies since the last time we talked, I think. Where the hell did I leave off? I believe I told you about Fantastic Four. Wow, that was a long time ago. Then I saw The Luckiest Man in America. That is the true story about the guy who figured out the pattern of the game. Was it the No Whammies game? And he figured out and he won so much money. He kept on beating everybody. Press your luck. He figured it out, and they were like, ah, crap, what are we gonna do? So, it's a movie about that, and I assume it's semi-fictionalized. I don't know how true it is, but I think it's mostly true. All right, that's going to be it for this episode. Thank you so much for checking out this show. And of course, I appreciate you telling all your friends about it. I know you are. I have eyes everywhere. This has been Spencer Dispensing Information. Goodbye.